The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have only been with you for just over a year. My, how time flies. But it still won't be a surprise to most of you if I told you that as a child, I was really a handful. Yeah, nice giggles there. I mean, really a handful. I think I came out of the womb talking. My mother used to say that I could talk to a wall. I got in trouble all the time, not only for talking, but for asking questions all the time. In fact, when I got into junior high school, one of my teachers wrote in my yearbook, "Dear John," but she called me something else, "Curious John." It was a play on Curious George. "Dear Curious John, never stop asking questions." So I ran back home and showed my mom. "Look, Mom." She just kind of rolled her eyes and shook her head because she was used to it. But I don't think that the impact was really made on me on what I caused my teachers and my parents until I had the opportunity to teach second grade in San Antonio, Texas, and there was a little boy named Ricardo Garcia that was kind of like me and drove me crazy. He asked more questions. Now, it's typical for a child to ask questions in math class or science class or even religion class. It was at a Catholic school in San Antonio. But the questions that drove me crazy are, "Mr. Pitzer, why can't recess be longer?" Every day, "Mr. Pitzer, why can't recess be longer?" Until I finally said, "Ricardo, never ask Mr. Pitzer that question again." Or the question, "Mr. Pitzer, what's for lunch?" "Mr. Pitzer," the next day, "what's for lunch?" until I finally posted the lunch schedule on the bulletin board, and I would simply point to the bulletin board and he could go find out what the answer was. How could you get upset with a child when they're asking questions? Because that's their job, right? What about adults? Is it different for adults when they ask question after question after question? Sometimes they really want to know. Sometimes they need to know. Sometimes they need something explained. But sometimes, and I know this has happened to you too, someone asks a question and you say in your head, did they really just ask that? Like it's the most obvious question with the most obvious answer. Surely they did not ask the question that I just heard them ask. Today's gospel is a great example of that. We have a lawyer who knows how to ask questions, right? He asked two. The first question he knows the answer to. And as a lawyer friend of mine said, on the second question, never ask that question if you don't know what the answer is. And he did not know what the answer was. So he said, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus kind of sounds like a lawyer to me, huh? He answers that with a question. Well, you tell me, what does it say in Scripture? What have you read? Well, you love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you're right. You do that, and you will inherit eternal life. If it just could have ended there, but it didn't. And if any of his buddies were standing around him when he said, but Jesus, wait a minute. Who's my neighbor? They probably all thought, oh man, are you kidding me? Why did he ask that? He had the right answer. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. You should have left it alone and moved on. His life would have been so much easier. But that's not what happened. Jesus, who's my neighbor? And this lawyer's life turned upside down. And in many ways, if we take this gospel seriously, so does ours. Jesus launches into the story of the Good Samaritan, the person who has been beat and robbed, lying on the side of the road. The priest passes, goes to the other side. The Levite passes, goes to the other side. And a Samaritan shows up and does what he's supposed to do, and he shows mercy. What a great story, right? Well, it was as confusing then as it might be today that if we take it just and listening to it, just as it's read, well, I can be a good neighbor. And I would imagine every person sitting in this church today, I would be willing to bet, if you saw someone on the side of the road that had been robbed and beat, you would stop. You would at least stop and call 911. You might stop and get them a water. You might stop and say, may I call someone for you? You would do what you're supposed to do, and I hope I would too. But there's more to it than that. It's a Samaritan and it's a Jew. And this is an awfully strong word. They hated one another with a capital H. There's no other way to put it. So when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, the Jew and the Samaritan, he is really knocking the ball out of the ballpark. He is really turning the world upside down of anyone who is listening, whether it was 2,000 years ago or whether it was today. So the only way that you and I can really, truly understand this gospel is to choose someone in our life or a group or an organization that we just don't like. That pushes us to the edge. That's the only way we're going to get it. And I realize the word hate is awfully strong. I mean, most of you probably don't hate anyone or hate anything or any organization. The only time I use the word hate as a Texas Longhorn is when I say I hate Aggies and Sooners. Am I right, Father Rector? And if I saw an Aggie or a Sooner lying on the side of the road, I might help. It'd be like saying to you as LSU fans, if you saw Nick Saban lying on the side of the road, would you help? You probably would, but it might take you a little bit of thinking and praying to get yourself to do that. Or if you're a Saints fan and you saw a Dirty Bird fan lying on the side of the road, would you help them? Yeah, maybe after a while, but that's just kind of silly, right? I'm going to give you some examples that are going to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm giving you fair warning, all right? So sit tight, buckle up, and I'm going to use myself as the example. As a former Catholic priest, if I went to a funeral and I was told by the priest, you can't receive communion because you're now an Episcopalian, that would anger me so much. If someone from another faith, whether it's another denomination or another faith, Jewish, Muslim, if they push me to the edge, then guess what? That's my neighbor. If someone tells me that they have had an abortion in life, and I'm as pro-life as the day is long, and I have so much difficulty handling that news, it really bothers me, it pushes me to the edge, then that person who made that decision is my neighbor. If someone who has skin color darker than mine, African American or Asian, or an immigrant who has come to this country illegally, and that pushes me to the edge, then that person is my neighbor. If it's the month of June and I turn on WDSU and I see footage of the gay pride parade and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm tired of looking at this. Do they have to shove it in my face? It pushes me to the edge every single time. Then that's my neighbor. I'm a lifelong Republican, and I thought, how could anyone vote for a Clinton? And then I find out my neighbor voted for Clinton. Are you kidding me? Then that's my neighbor. Or I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I can't believe that someone voted for Trump and they still support him. Then that's my neighbor. Anyone, my sisters and brothers, that pushes us to the edge of the cliff, that we don't think we can go on, we have no energy to help that person because we simply don't like them because of what they do or who they voted for or what they believe, then that's my neighbor. Period. End of sentence. It's hard, y'all. Are you kidding me? Yesterday's gospel in today's world is so difficult. So what do we do? I'm not saying you hate any. Listen, I'm not saying any of these people need to be your best friend. I'm not saying that at all, because I'm saying that to you and then I'm saying it to me. They don't have to be your best friend, but as Jesus says, you got to show mercy. There's no choice. There's no discussion. And if we struggle with, I don't know if I've named a group that has touched a chord with you, but if I haven't, I'll bet you can think of one on your own. I can think of one. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I can think of something. If there is a group or a person that we struggle with, then we need to ask for God's grace to help us show the mercy we're called to show. It's so hard to do, but nothing is impossible with God. So once you name who your neighbor is, I want you to go into the world and I want you to love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your strength, and with your mind. And I want you to love your neighbor as yourself, no matter who that neighbor might be. Amen.